Right, well, what I want to talk about today is a very simple message, but something I want to encourage you. I want to take, I believe God wants to take fear from your heart as we're moving forward in the purposes of God. This is a talk for us as a church about what God's doing with us. It's to encourage us, it's to build our faith, it's to extract fear in our heart as we move forward in the purposes of God. You know, faith and fear, they don't really go well together. They're opposites. And one of the things is that when we move forward in the purposes of God, we're always confronted by faith challenges, and whenever we're confronted by faith challenges, we're confronted by fear challenges as well. And so we need to be able to provoke our faith and deal with our fear. And the Bible says this, where God guides, he provides. This is a really interesting slide here. It's a picture of a Prada shop in the middle of a desert. Can you imagine such a thing? But, you know, the Bible does say that when God called the Israelites from Egypt to the promised land, they went through the desert for 40 years and their shoes did not wear out at all. So I don't know if they were wearing Prada, but they did have good quality stuff. And their leather sandals didn't wear out. But Jesus said this, and I want you to take this to heart, every single one of you, because it doesn't matter who we are, where, what our backgrounds are, what our culture is, what our past circumstance or present circumstance. This applies to every single one of us because it speaks into the heart and the core of the human soul. Jesus says this, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we wear? Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, these practical needs about what you will eat, what you will wear, how am I going to pay the rent, how am I going to pay the mortgage, how am I going to, you know, put my kids through school, how am I going to get those gel pens? Do not worry. Your Father knows what you have need for. Seek first, put first, pursue first the kingdom of God, the rule of God, the way of God, the will of God, the purpose of God, the word of God, the mind of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his holiness, his purpose, his right way of doing, his righteousness for your own lives and for the orbit and influence where God has placed you. Put that first. And then Jesus says this, and all these things that you have a tendency, a potency, a temptation to worry about, all these things that you need, the daily bread, the daily stuff of life, shall be given to you. So we have a fantastic promise and a doable condition. A condition and a promise that go hand in hand. And of course, the condition, you could sum it up this way, our lives have been given to us to live for God. Our lives have been given to us to live for God. Your life has not been given to you for your own purpose, for your own pleasure, for your own design in life. It has been created and given for the purpose of God. The Bible says this, we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price, the blood of Christ. You do not belong to you. Your wife does not belong to you, firstly. Your husband does not belong to you, firstly. Your children do not belong to you, firstly. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We've been bought for a purpose. Peter says that we have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we may declare the wonderful praises of God. We have been called to live for the purposes and for the pleasure and for the glory and the knowledge of God. That is our purpose. So when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, as we live a life that is not taken up with our own affairs, but is taken up with the purposes and the affairs and the intent and the desires of God, then this promise and this guarantee from heaven kicks in that all that we need shall be given to us. Now, we're not talking about lavish luxury, and we're not talking about Ferraris and yachts in the south of France, whilst that would be really cool. We're not talking about that. But with the little or the plenty, in the good times, in the bad times, in the thick and in the thin, there is a guarantee, there is a promise from God that he will meet our needs. And I'm not talking about giving our lives to the purposes of God that we may get. I'm talking about giving our lives wholly and sacrificed to the purposes of God, that he may flow through us, that we may become a blessing to others. God said to Abraham when he called him, and he's the father of our faith, he says, Abraham, I will bless you that you may bless all the peoples of the earth. The blessing is about flow. The provision is about not stocking up, but it's about releasing. That wonderful teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus says, supposing some of you are in bed late at night and some friends come visiting you late at night and they're knocking on your door and they say, hey, it's late night, let us in. And you let them in and you want to give them some food and you're out of bread. Which one of you will not go to a friend, says, hey, I've had some visitors who have visited me late. Please give me some bread because my pantry's empty. And he says, how much more will the Father give to you the Holy Spirit, the provision of God for those who ask? So he says, seek, ask, knock, and it will be provided. But the context of that answer to prayer is, can I have some bread that I may give it to somebody else? Can I have some bread that I might be a channel of your purpose and provision and blessing to others? And I want to encourage you that this isn't just talking about material possession. That's just sometimes the starting place where Jesus speaks into our heart, because sometimes it's the most immediate concern that we have. How am I going to pay the bill tomorrow? But this text speaks about God's provision for the whole person. He provides for you holistically. He puts you in a church that can encourage you and teach you and guide you about the principles and the ways of life. And as we learn about the precepts and the ways of God from one another and do life together in church, there is a wisdom that comes that actually makes a pathway for you. He puts support and friendship. We have Holy Spirit guidance. He gives us his power. He creates opportunities for us. He opens and closes doors for us according to his wisdom and what is best for us in this life. It's a whole provision. And I want to encourage you that God will meet your every need, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, as you and as we together put first his kingdom, as we live, not for ourselves, but for him. And I'd like to acknowledge this morning in my own life, as by way of a testimony or just an acknowledgement in my own life, how God has been faithful to me. When I was called to serve him in 1982, 30 years ago, been in ministry 27 years now, after Bible College and all that type of thing, I have found that when God called me, the first thing he said to me, and as many of you know my story, I wasn't a Christian at the time, I hadn't been to church, and I was an atheist, actually, and I was walking through Castle Cork Woods, just down the M4 corridor, and I had a divine encounter out of the blue, didn't expect it, but God revealed his power and presence to me, and it was a real shock at the time, because I was 19 turning on 20, and you know, I wasn't looking for that, I didn't expect it, but I had a revelation, the presence of power of God, and it's as if I heard these clear words coming from God. And it was, Julian, abandon yourself to me. Proclaim my name to all people, and I will meet your needs. And I want to say, 27 years of ministry, 30 years of being a Christian, I want to just share a testimony and acknowledge the fact that 30 years down the road, God has been good to his promise. Through thick and thin, through little and plenty, through good, bad times and bad times, God has been faithful to meet every single need. I'm not saying it's always been easy. I'm not saying there haven't been times of immense challenge, but when you look back at the big picture, I can say that God was true to his words and he has done extraordinary things in extraordinary times and in extraordinary ways. But the key is this: who are you going to abandon your life to? Who are you going to live for? What purpose are you going to serve? Self or the great purposes of God? I want to encourage you, as we as a church and individuals continue to lay down our lives and serve the greater purposes of God, we will continue to see the faithfulness and the goodness and the hand of God leading and guiding and providing in everything that he's called us to do. Through the Bible, we see God specifically providing for his people and individuals who are totally dedicated to do his will. Collectively, we see Israel in the desert. When they're walking through the desert, he provided manna every day and even fresh meat. When the whole swarms of birds would fly in, there was a rock that followed them, and fresh water flowed every day, and their food, their clothes and their sandals didn't wear out. And then we also see for individuals who dedicate their lives to the purposes of God, which we're all called to do, God provides for them. And whether it's the drought and the desert, or the economic crunch, or job loss, or pay cuts, it's not a problem to God if we are determined. If we are determined to do his will. And I want to encourage you this morning as a church, as a people, as Cornerstone. I want to encourage ourselves together in this new season. And for me, like Matthew was saying, September is like the kind of start of the new year for the church. I want to lay a call upon us in the light of what God is doing to be determined to do the will of God in this season and to push forward into the advance of the kingdom of God, because there are better and greater things to see. And everything that we've seen up to this point is just a preparation for the future. I'd like to read you the story of Elijah. Sometime later, it says, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow to supply you with food." Astonishing. It was the middle of a drought, famine all over the place. And Elijah, who is the prophet of God in the nation, he represents the work of the Spirit and the work of his word in the nation. All right? He says, "I provided a widow to feed you there." So he went to Zarephath. When he came down to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And as she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me a piece of bread." And she said, "As surely as the Lord God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." I mean, this was desperate. "Don't be afraid. Go home," he said. "Do as you've said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. Then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain." She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken through Elijah. Now this story, spoken through Elijah, was not written as a one-time wonder. This wasn't written something we could look back thousands of years later and go, "Wasn't that marvelous back then?" The scriptures say in the book of Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is inspired for our present-day teaching, encouragement, instruction. direction, correction. It is written for us today that we may learn. And then James says this, Elijah was a man just like us, weak, frail, imperfect, incredibly aware of his own inadequacies, and yet, it says, he prayed and God turned up. It says the prayer of a righteous person is effective, and they're using the story of Elijah and the oil and the bread. The scriptures, these things are written so that we can learn and take encouragement. It says, if God did it then, he can do it now. Okay, the reason I'm sharing this, there's a reason, is I want you to get ready for a miracle as we obey God. Another one. We've seen plenty over the years. I want you to get ready for another miracle as we obey God. And the reason is because I got some news for you. As you know, we've been going for the oldies. Let's put it up here so you can see what I'm talking about. We've got planning permission for it. We've exchanged contracts. We've got the planning permission. We'll be completing on the building very shortly. Very shortly, that building will be ours. And what I'd like to encourage you about is this. As we have obeyed God over the years and the seasons, we have seen the provision of God that we may keep moving forward in his purposes. We have all that we need right now to buy that building. Isn't that amazing? That is a miracle. We're living in one of the poorest cities, poorest wards, in one of the poorest cities, in one of the poorest nations in Western Europe. When we started this church with £35, and remember when we were in the living room, we said, God wants us to buy this building. And we thought, how are we ever going to do it? And now we bought this building, and God's called us to buy another building. And when we said, how are we ever going to do it? Today, we have all the money that we need to buy that building. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. As a church, we're not overflowing with money. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about we have the money we need to buy that building. We still have to give sacrificially. We have to be faithful in our giving. As leaders and trustees, we have to budget wisely. In the economic crunch, we've got to keep our margins down and expenditure to a limit. It's not easy. There are times of plenty, like Joseph, and there are times of famine. It's not easy. And I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But God called us to do something specifically 18 months ago. And when I looked at that building and the leadership looked at it, we didn't have the money to buy it. And today, we have the money to buy it. And the fact that a modest-sized church in the poorest area, in this such poor, economically challenged area, can buy a building that was originally on the market for $1.3 million is absolutely a miracle, a provision of God. It's not what we're paying for it, by the way, but that's another move of God, isn't it? Now, it's time to give thanks to God, and it's time to get focused. It's time to listen up to what he's doing. It's time to get ready, because we are going to cross over into new territories and into new purposes of God, and new advances for the kingdom. That's why we've got it. It's not just about a building. It's about something God is doing it. We're not buying it because we need it. We're not buying it because we want it. We're buying it because God has told us to. And there's something that he is going to do in us and through us again in our city, region, and nation. Now, the second thing I want to say, you follow me so far? Yeah. God flows through obedience to his purpose. Now, we've talked about that. Now, Elijah was called to a nation. He was called to bring God to a nation and bring a nation back to God. The widow was called to provide for that prophetic work and that ministry. And in so doing, God would provide for her. Their destinies were linked. So the word of God and the Spirit of God through Elijah the servant, his provision to do that was linked with the widow. Her provision in a time of famine was linked to the purposes of God. Can you see how the two are connected? This is the way it works. Now, Cornerstone, with other churches in our nation, have been called to bring God to city, community, and nation. That's part of our calling. It always has been. From the very beginning, we knew that God had called us to have an influence and a reach that was community, city, region, and nation. When you say that to 9 people when you start, people go, I hope you're either mad or you're right. But I hope you're not wrong, because if we're all sunk if you are. But here we are today, from humble beginnings of 9 people and £35 when we started, we're now bringing influence to a whole nation as a church, especially through New Wine. Through this church, and Jez has come on board now and is the manager for New Wine, and we bring the leadership to this New Wine network. We are serving 300 leaders and their churches in five regions across the nation. They gather together ready to grow in their leadership, become more missional, become more effective. And through New Wine and other ministries and other initiatives from this church, we're not only touching our own community, and there's people in this room who've been touched by the ministry to this community. We're not only touching our city, but actually there's an influence, the kingdom of God, to bring whole nation back to Jesus. And it's quite astonishing, because we're a modest church. We're not a big church, we're a modest-sized church. But God fed the prophet, the national ministry, through a modest widow. Because it's not about how much strength or knowledge or wisdom or might or stature or muscle you have. It's about obedience to the purposes of God. And so here we are in our own community. We've seen God save people. We've seen God heal people. We've seen God help people and serve people throughout the church. And some are in this room today serving us together. Some are moved on to other churches and serving God faithfully in other churches across the city and beyond. Some have come from this place and church planted, like in Carmarthen and Aberdare. And some are like the loaves and the fishes, where the people came and ate the loaves and fishes from Jesus, and they didn't become one of the 12 disciples or one of the 70 disciples. They went home. But they tasted something of the kingdom of God and spoke well about Jesus wherever they went, because they had been influenced for the better and for the good. And some have tasted and they've been healed and haven't gone home, haven't joined us. They've been served through our projects and haven't joined us. But they speak well of Jesus, well of God, well of the church. And the atmosphere and the openness to the things of God is changed through them taking a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish and taking it home. And that's the way the kingdom of God works. And the kingdom of God is advanced through faith and obedience, through our sacrifice, our serving, our giving, our praying, and his power. Here in this city, in the nations of the world, and the nation. Now, my challenge for us today as we close is this, is to be faithful, trusting and obedient like Elijah and that widow. Faithful to serve the purposes of God in bringing God to the people and offering all that we are and all that we have to see the job done. Presenting ourselves, that's our time and our gifts and our talents and our resources to God. Using our gifts and skills to serve him every day. using our gifts and skills to build up the church and to grow it, being committed to this cause that we of God through this church that he has called you to join called Cornerstone. It means that Sunday mornings matter because this is team time. If it didn't matter being here, writer of the book of Hebrews wouldn't have been inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, forget not to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing. Don't forget to gather together regularly. Why? Because it matters. Your presence matters. Your prayers matters. Your encouragement matters. Your service matters. It matters. You matter. You matter. Every one of you in this room, you matter. I was driving past a house this morning, and I looked up at the roof, and I looked at all the tiles, and I noticed that there are a few tiles missing in the roof. Amongst so many missing, does that matter? Of course it matters. Because if I tell you why it matters, because the roof leaks without the tiles in place. This church leaks without you. You matter. Your presence matters. Your reliability matters. Saying, yes, I will serve. I'll do worship. Imagine if Beth didn't turn up this morning. She said, oh, I have an extra half hour in bed. But she didn't. She's faithful. She was here to lead us in worship. Imagine if one of the Sunday school teachers wasn't here. It'd be chaos out there. Or in here, one or the other. Every one of you matters. Your encouragement, your prayers, everything. Your presence, your contribution. So, it's important to understand that for some divine reason, as God has given us this new building, it's linked to our next advance and breakthrough in the purpose of God. Now, I find this really, really interesting, and I'm going to begin to wrap this up. I'm circling to land right now. Okay, interesting. Now, this is really interesting. I would like you to take this to heart, because this is what I found very, very interesting about the ways that often God works in patterns with individuals or groups. There's patterns, there's ways of the Lord, that how God works with you so you know he's at work. Those of you who are prophetic and used to hearing the voice of God, you will know and recognize that God often will speak to you or warn you that he's about to speak to you in particular ways. You go, oh, when that happens, I listen up. And those of you who are used to hearing the voice of God, you will know that certain things will happen, and you know something's on its way because he's given you a pre-warning about a particular way that is consistent the way he speaks to you. That's not unusual. Now, God has worked through this church from its small, humble beginnings to where it is now in a consistent way. And it's interesting that through the life of Cornerstone, he has always sought to do it, bring us through a breakthrough into the next level in advance through the purchase and the refurbishment of buildings from its very beginning. And he's always worked it in a way that he's given us the money to buy something by faith, and it's always been sacrifice, it's always been scary. And then, we've never had the money to refurbish it, fulfill the vision, so to speak, and then God has provided the people and the resources and the finance as we have walked in obedience. It's always been consistent from day one. Let me outline this real quick. In 1986-87, Sarah and myself were working in a church in Hereford. We were on a very, 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 very low income. We couldn't afford to buy our own home, and we were renting, and we had housing benefit to help us pay for it, as those of you who've known what it is, either to be on that or have been on that in the past. Some prophetic ministries came over from America and began to prophesy to a group of us young people, and we were in our 20s at the time, and they prophesied over all of our friends. They actually all had jobs, and they had their own homes. Sarah and myself were the only people who never owned our own home, and we had resigned in our hearts that we never would. We really thought that because of the call of God, we would always be mobile and never own our own home. They called us out to pray for us, and it was Clem Ferris and a number of two other prophets. And they'd never met us before. I'd never met them. They put their hands on us, and immediately they said this: God is going to give you a house. It's going to be a step of faith. It's going to be a house greater than you believe for. And when he gives it to you, it's going to be the launch of the new ministry. And God is going to bring people in. He's going to bless people there. And we knew, and God was prophesying, that God was going to give us a house and it was going to start something and a new direction in our ministry. All right? We moved to Swansea sometime later, got called to go to Swansea. Again, we were renting a property, housing benefit, and my weekly salary was £50 a week. So, I mean, buying a house was out of the question. In fact, you couldn't do much on that. In fact, I remember first inviting you for dinner, didn't you, Zeno? I said, come to lunch after church, and we have fish finger sandwiches that we shared together, didn't we? Remember that? And you've stuck with us ever since. That must have been God. Either that or he's mad. So, there we were. And I remember one day looking out of the window, and that for sale, a guy came up into the garden, front garden, put a for sale sign for a house that we were renting. And when that for sale sign went out, I heard these words, I will give you a house greater than you believe for. And the line of that prophetic word that I received a number of years early came straight back to me. And I turned to Sarah and said to Sarah, we're going to buy a house. God's going to do something. Now, you can't buy a house on £50. And we went to see a man about a mortgage after that. He says you wouldn't get a mortgage on a garage. Quote. So we decided to buy a house on what we needed, right, in the purposes of God, rather than what we could afford. We went to this one house called 856 Langevillock Road, just down the road from here. We walked through the threshold. When we walked through the front door, I heard these words. This is a house greater than you believe for. And I knew that God had called us to buy the house. And Sarah felt the same thing. In fact, we went for a walk in the local park. And as I walked in the local park, I felt the presence of God and called to this place. And that God was going to do something. And as soon as I felt that presence of God, Sarah burst into tears, which is never a good sign. And I said, what's the matter, Sarah? And she said, I feel like I come home. Now, for an English girl, those of you English here, that was quite astonishing. God, it was a calling of God to this place. So we decided to buy this house that we couldn't afford, and we didn't have the money for. But the moment we decided to buy it, finance came in so that we were able to do it. I haven't got the time to go through the story, but it was a remarkable thing because God wanted us to plant a church there. So we bought it. And a fortnight later after moving in, we started Cornerstone Church with 9 of us there. And our first offering was £35. We had enough to buy it. We didn't have enough to refurbish it. But it was an absolute wreck. Do you remember? It was an absolute wreck of a place. We had no heating, central heating, hot water. It was terrible. Now, this is the story. We bought it in November. A few months later, I get a knock on the door. Guy knocks on the door and says, excuse me, are you Mr. Joseph of 856 Langevillock Road? I said, no, that's the last guy. He said, well, it doesn't matter. The last owner put this place up on the list for refurbishment for a grant. It's a long waiting list, but yours has come to the top. We've had an underspend of £3 million in the local authority. What do you want done? They refurbished the whole house. We didn't have enough to refurbish it, but God did. And we started our church, and we met there, didn't we, until it was too big for us to meet in. That was our first church building. Then we saw this place, and it was an absolute wreck and shell of a place. It was a devastating mess. And we saw this place, and we had a look around it, and just probably about 20 of us then in the church concluded that God wanted us to buy it. And we didn't have enough to buy it, but eventually after, I haven't got time to go through it, but miracle after miracle, we bought this place, but we didn't have enough to refurbish it. Didn't have enough. And then 3 things happened in one go. I was going for a walk, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, ask the people to give again. And I said, oh no, because I've been putting it out. I said, oh no, I can't ask. I can't do that. They've been so sacrificial. I cannot possibly ask them to give again, but I felt that God asked me to ask the church. So I went back and said, look, how about if we give again and try and get back in this place? And do you know what happened? Everybody clapped. They all clapped. Now, when people start clapping because they're going to give their money, you know either they really have gone mad or God has moved upon their hearts. This is what happened. We had an offering, and it was a real sacrificial offering. It was about 20 of us. We raised £15,000. Within a fortnight, two things happening. One, we were given a grant of £15,000 to refurbish. So we raised 15. Within 14 days, we were given 15. And then a man came up to me and said this, I've heard you bought this old GPO sorting office. Can I look at it? I used to live there around that area. Showed him the place around, and he said to me, I refurbish buildings. How much have you got? I said, we've got £30,000. He says, I'll do everything that you have, everything you need for that money. And I tell you what, it was a lot more than 30,000, because you can see what we got here. So God provided again. And then we went to the next level. So the starting place was the purchase of a building. Buy it, refurbish, provision of God. The next level of our growth and breakthrough into community and where we are today was through the purchase of a building. And for some reason, God has asked us to buy a building again. And miraculously, he's given us enough to build it, buy it. And now we have to trust the Lord through our faithfulness, through our prayers, through our sacrifice, through our giving, through our pulling together to see him take us on to the next stage. And what God has done in the past, he will do in the present. The reason I'm sharing this with you is that God told the Israelites time and time again to share the story of what God had done so those people who weren't a part of the original story could hear it, get faith, be brought up to speed, we could move together as one and stay close and tracking to the purposes of God. So what now? Believe God, obey God for his purposes, pray like we've never prayed before. Give faithfully. Trust the Lord. And be committed to move together. Because God is going to move us into the next phase and purposes of his kingdom ministry through us. It's not about the building. It's not about the building. It's about obedience and what he's going to do through that and through that building. Are you hearing me? But as we commit to this and we move together, unity, sacrifice, using the resources and the talents we've got, and we move together as one church, get ready for a miracle. Stand back and watch God will do it. This is going to be your story. You've heard about the stories in the past. I haven't had time to go through all the detail of them. But you are going to get your story. You're going to see your miracle. You're going to have something to share with your neighbors and friends and grandchildren about what God did through a company of people who were obedient. Those of us who've been doing this for the last 20 years have a whole stack of stories, and you've heard of them. You are going to get yours if we follow through. And so in conclusion, I'm going to read a passage, an excerpt from Joshua, and I want you to take this to heart, let it sink into your spirit, and provoke a sense of obedience to God first, obedience to God first, commitment to his cause, and loyalty to one another in this next phase as we move forward. You ready? Listen to the word of the Lord. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross over into the land I'm about to give. I will give every place where you set your foot as I've promised. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I'm going to read that again. It's really important. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Go through the camp. Tell the people. Get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan. Go in to take possession of the land your God is giving you for your own. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. And tomorrow is coming. Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things amongst you. I want to encourage you to consecrate. That means separate yourself wholly for his purpose. For he will do amazing things amongst you. So let's pray. Give our lives to the Lord for his holy purpose this morning, that it may be performed through us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He'll get it to you if he can get it through you. We are who carries the spirit of Elijah now? The church. Yes. We are the prophet to bring the Spirit and the Word of God to our nation in these days. With others, of course, but we have a part to play. Let's stand together. I'm just going to give you a few moments to respond in your own heart and words, quietly, personally, to the Lord Jesus, out of what you've heard him say to you this morning through the Spirit. My only instruction, call, challenge to you is to be obedient. Just obey. It all flows from faith and obedience. Every miracle comes from obedience and faith. It's where it comes from. Father, we stand before you. You know each one of our hearts. And for those of us who can and are able, we consecrate our lives to you for your purpose again in this next phase of our journey. We pray that for each member of the church here and those that you've called to join us, you will move upon our hearts like you did of the people of old, that we may be moved to live and to give and to serve and to unite and fight together for the purposes of God. We pray that you will make us like that Joshua people, that Joshua generation, that we will cross over carrying the presence of God in the purposes of God and see you do marvelous things. We want to declare that it's not about a building. It's just bricks and mortar, and we don't worship it and we don't desire it in the flesh. It's not about a building. We declare that for some reason you've called us to buy it. We declare for some reason you're going to do something in it and through our obedience. We don't know what's around the corner, but you do. And therefore, not by sight, but by faith, not because we need it, but because you've called us to it, we will move over, cross over, and by your grace be obedient. And we give the rest over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.